It's estimated there are now hundreds of so-called volunteer human shields in Baghdad. They've converged on the Iraqi capital from the U.S. and around the world and are positioning themselves at installations around Baghdad in an attempt to prevent U.S. bombing. Army General Tommy Franks, head of the U.S. Central Command, said this week he could not guarantee the safety of human shields in the event of war. Among those in Baghdad is former Marine Ken Nichols O'Keefe, a veteran of the Gulf War. He believes Saddam Hussein's regime does not pose a threat to the West, and he believes that Americans need to act to defend ordinary Iraqis. That's why he says he's coordinating the Human Shield campaign to protect Iraq's infrastructure.
The main focus is electrical power plants and water facilities, because those are the first places that were hit in the first Gulf War. And that's what causes massive damage and suffering for the civilian population. We are going to be deploying to hospitals, too. We went to a food storage plant today we deployed at. Those places are critical to civilian populations, and that they will cause massive suffering if they're hit again.
Well, let me ask you this, Mr. O'Keefe. I've read that some of the volunteers there, volunteers as human shields in Baghdad, do admit to feeling that they're being, in fact, co-opted by the Iraqi government, used as propaganda tools. Isn't that a very real concern?
There can be no denying that we essentially have the same goal in stopping this war. That is a shame. That really is. I mean, it would be so much better if we had a different government in place here and the U.S. was carrying out its same policy. But we have a situation that we have, and because our interests in that one aspect are the same, we cannot help but be co-opted in a sense that we really don't want. So, I mean, not everything about this situation is ideal, but the bottom line is coming down here to stand with the Iraqi people is what we're doing, and that's very powerful and very good.
It does seem clear, though, that the Iraqi government is very eager to have you there. They've granted you visas extremely quickly. They're suggesting sites for the volunteer human shields to occupy. They're paying for some of your housing, setting up free phone lines. Aren't you concerned that you're being co-opted, given the support and assistance you're getting from the Iraqi government?
No, I'm not. I cannot control the government here. I mean, these are all logistical things that we have to go through, and we cannot do it completely separate from the Iraqi government. I mean, think about it. It's just impossible. So those who are focusing on those aspects of things are doing so because they want to continue the status quo of disempowering people and trust your government, trust your politicians, and that's rubbish. That does not work. It's better for people to act and accept that some of the things that they do may not turn out exactly as they want, but you do it for the right reasons, and that's why people are down here.
You know that in 1990, the Iraqis rounded up hundreds, maybe thousands of foreigners and forced them to be human shields and then released them before the war. I wonder what you'd say to those people who didn't have a choice and who say you're being hopelessly naive.
Well, I've actually met one of them personally. This man was a banker, and he was down in Kuwait. And he basically told me what you've just said. I'm naive. I'm not naive. I understand that I don't have complete control over the situation here. I understand that the leadership here has an agenda that isn't in line with mine in most regards, but it is in line with mine with regard to stopping this war. If things turn bad, if bombs start dropping, if it gets ugly, I am definitely concerned about what might happen to us. I'm very concerned about it because I'm the one who's made the call to get people over here. But I'm hoping and I'm praying and I'm believing that we can indeed stop this war and that all life will be saved.
Mr. O'Keefe, thanks very much.
Well, thank you for having me.
Ken Nichols O'Keefe is head of a movement of volunteer human shields in Baghdad. Paul Iliopoulos was one of those hundreds who were rounded up and forced to be human shields in 1990. He was living in Kuwait at the time, working for Arthur Anderson Consulting. On August 2nd, he was arrested by Iraqi soldiers, interrogated and beaten, and he spent the next 4.5 months as a hostage. He was taken to a camp south of Basra in southern Iraq.
We were taken there with the Kuwaiti POWs. And we spent a couple of days in that area. In the concentration camps, the conditions were not good. Obviously, August in the desert is not a good time. And also, we're constantly in fear of our life. Plus, there was one point when I was afraid I was going to be raped. Luckily, I didn't go through this, but you were in constant fear.
At this point, your captors take you to Baghdad. What is it that they tell you?
That we're guests of the Iraqi government. Now, to us, it was obvious. We're hostages because they put us up in the Al-Rashid Hotel. And they had us on display for journalists every day. and we had no locks on the doors. We were sleeping two or three in a room, whatever it was. But there was no question that we were not going to be let free.
I wonder what was going through your mind at this point, how your thought processes were working.
There are two states that you're in. One is utter boredom, and the other one was instant and intense fear. Plus, you are very quickly dehumanized. There's nothing that makes you think that there's a reason for them to see you other than just a piece of meat with a price on it.
And how long were you kept at the Al Rashid Hotel?
4 or 5 days.
And after that?
I was taken to a military site close to Syria, a hydroelectric power station close to Iran. I was taken to refineries, chemical plants, many, many different places.
And the idea was that you would essentially be protecting that site from any U.S. military action?
Yes, the sense being that the United States and Great Britain and whoever else would not attack these sites for fear of killing their own people. That was not an appalling idea to us. Me and many other people with me fully accepted that we were going to die. In fact, we would consider ourselves lucky if the last thing we saw would be our guys coming over the ridge.
You were held captive for 4.5 months.
Yes.
Why do you think you were released?
Quite frankly, I think I owe this to the first President Bush and Maggie Thatcher. I think that they convinced Saddam Hussein that we held no value for him, that he was going to be attacked whether he keeps us or not. And he was probably trying to gain some good publicity by letting us go.
You know that there are hundreds of volunteer human shields who have gone to Baghdad now to try to fend off a U.S. invasion of that country. I wonder what your reaction is to seeing that action.
It troubles me. It troubles me greatly on many levels. I don't think war is a good move. However, there's our country, and there's a very clear line of demarcation. So specifically for Americans that go to Baghdad, for me, they have crossed the line and they're on the other side. So that's one level. The other is they call themselves human shields. And I think that demeans what I went through. It makes a mockery of what it means to be a human shield against your will, to be a hostage. A third thing is I fear for these people. I think they're very naive. They have placed themselves in greater harm than they realize. There's nothing in Iraq that belongs to the government that's not a strategic site. You're there, you're helping Saddam Hussein. You're not doing anything else.
I've heard some of the human shields say that if they can protect a power plant or a water purification plant, then that helps the Iraqi people. Not the government necessarily, but the Iraqi people.
I cannot think of a single place in Iraq where the government does not have a vested interest in order to protect itself and not its own people. Mark my words, I hope the best for these naive people, but we soon will find out that they're being used against their will. And once the war starts, they're going to be out there all by themselves.
Mr. Iliopoulos, thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Paul Iliopoulos is an American who was arrested by the Iraqis in 1990 and used as an involuntary human shield.